D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Your vote may be stolen in this year's election. Find out how on today's Truths That Transform.
We have failed to fulfill our responsibilities as citizens. We have failed to obey the command of Christ.
The left is working overtime to invalidate the results of the 2016 election. And if they have their way, nothing like it will ever happen again.
The left is trying to take over the country and impose a socialist state on America.
We expose the plot to steal your vote on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. For over two centuries, America has witnessed the peaceful transfer of power from one president to the next, a process that has made us the envy of the world. But beginning with the 2016 election, we have seen for the first time the refusal of one side of the political spectrum to hand over power after a lawful election. Instead, they have launched a growing number of schemes to upend the election and take away your vote. On today's program, we'll expose how they're accomplishing this, and you will see the imperative obligations Christians have to stand up against it. And we have important new resources to offer that will help you hold on to your freedom and counter these vote-stealing strategies. We begin with an investigation of the far-left's attempt to steal your vote and upend our elections. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
We're facing, they say, the most consequential election of our lifetime.
Elections have consequences, and those that we put in power pass the laws and make decisions that affect our country.
2020 is very important, and we can't sit this one out.
It's almost a cliche to say this could be the most important election of our lifetime, but surely a lot is at stake in the 2020 vote.
The left is trying to take over the country and impose a socialist state on America. If they win this time around, I'm not sure we'll ever get the American freedom we're used to back.
Election 2020 is unbelievably important. Look, election 2016 was important, but that election had gone a different direction. Two Supreme Court vacancies would have been filled by a very liberal president, and everything from the sanctity of life to religious liberty would be deeply in jeopardy. But in 2020, the country's still on that razor's edge. The courts are getting better, but they're nowhere close to being the kind of courts that the American people and that men and women of faith could rely on to effectively defend the Constitution as the Founding Fathers wrote it. So on the sanctity of life, religious liberty, many other issues, the next president will determine the direction of the country for our children and grandchildren, probably for the next 30 or 40 years.
One thing is to allow millions of illegal immigrants into the country, not keep track of them, and then weaken the voting laws. And in the book, I go through a number of ways they do this. They fight voter ID laws, and everybody agrees on them. Every demographic polled says they support voter ID. And yet, all over the country, voter ID laws are under attack. Former President Obama and former Attorney General Eric Holder are still attacking those laws as racist, as bigoted, as suppressing the minority vote. And they do this without any evidence.
They've put things on the table like packing the court with additional justices, getting rid of the Electoral College so that it's just a popular vote, which means that a few large, highly populated states would end up running the country and deciding what the values are of the great American heartland. that anybody that had our type of values, pro-life, pro-family, believing in reliable standards of right and wrong, believing that this was a country built on ordered liberty under God, that no one that believed those things would ever be able to get elected as President of the United States again.
Bob Knight points out in his book that a practice out of California called ballot harvesting is becoming a tool by which some are committing voter fraud.
Ballot harvesting is one of the latest techniques that the left is using to, I believe, steal elections. Ballot harvesting is legal in some jurisdictions, and it means you can go out and collect ballots from people you're not related to. Usually, you cannot turn in a ballot for someone you're not related to, and that's to prevent vote fraud. In California, after they initiated ballot harvesting, the elections changed considerably. In Orange County, California, that was a bastion of conservative politics. Republicans were elected there very easily for decades. In the last election, several Republicans were leading on election night, one of them by 14%. And then thousands of ballots came in that were harvested by volunteers, usually union leaders, and that swept the Democrats to power in all congressional districts in Orange County. Now, I can't believe that Orange County overnight became a Democratic county, other than the ballot harvesting that facilitated it.
In the state of California, the law has recently changed so that instead of allowing people to merely go to the polls or vote by absentee mail, they've changed it so that third parties, either political operations or just grassroots activists, can go house to house and collect absentee ballots to take to the polls. Now, the concern of this is that you end up having labor unions or far-left activist organizations that show up at low-propensity voters who have received a vote-by-mail ballot. In some counties, actually, they're changing it so that all voting is done by mail. And they can go to those people that might not normally decide to go to the polls and vote. But they can essentially not tell them how to vote, but encourage them, potentially, about what they might want to do in a certain situation or in a certain race.
Another attempt to steal votes is by not getting the voter registration rolls up to date. There's an old joke that goes like this: how does a lifelong conservative from Chicago become a liberal voter all of a sudden? By dying. Critics note voter ID laws are a common sense safeguard against voter fraud.
The question I always ask is, how can you be against accurate voter rolls and say that's somehow racist or suppressing the vote when everybody's treated the same? How can you say that voter ID, where everybody is subject to the same rules and has to prove who they say they are and who is registered, how can that be racist or suppressing the vote? This, frankly, it isn't. It doesn't suppress the vote. Minorities support it. The Democratic legislature in Rhode Island in 2011, heavily dominated by Democrats. They have a strong minority presence, and one of the leading black legislators sponsored a bill to create voter ID in Rhode Island. How can you call that racist? He was asked about it. He said, well, why are you doing this? And he said, well, because my people aren't voting often enough because they don't think their vote's going to count. They think there's so much vote fraud because we don't have voter ID that why bother voting? So he wanted accurate voting rules.
Ken Blackwell of the Family Research Council once served as the Ohio Secretary of State, a responsibility which includes certifying election results.
If it was difficult to get a voter ID, you can say it was a restraint to participation. Well, it's not difficult. And you just think, whether it's taking out a library book, getting on an airplane, you know, buying certain, you know, adult beverages. You know, you have to show an ID. You know, I challenge anybody who basically says that it is difficult or not common practice to have an ID. And so what better place to use, you know, an ID than, you know, for voting? So that, you know, all you're showing is that you are who you claim to be, and you're protecting everybody from having their legally cast ballots from being neutralized by an illegally cast ballot.
I would encourage you not to consider sitting out election 2020. Sometimes people misconstrue the personality traits that are deficient in some instances, that are good in some instances, as being a determining factor as to whether or not they should engage. I think none of those things should determine whether or not Christians should participate civically. Our mandate to engage the society around us comes from the scripture.
It is ironic that our people, our children, are marching in the streets demanding socialism and watching what's happening in China right now, where their people are marching in the streets waving the American flags and demanding that China be like the United States of America. But this is a problem because in the last election, over 40 members of Congress ran as socialists. People don't realize that. So it has become fashionable right now because it had become fashionable on college campuses to be a socialist.
I think in California, the depressing thing that we see is that the state and a lot of the cities are 10 to 15 years farther down the road than the country as a whole. And I can guarantee you, if most of the rest of the country saw what we see on a regular basis, both in Sacramento and in some of these individual cities, they would not want to vote for leftist, progressive individuals. It's really deeply troubling that the news media, frankly, does not do a better job of covering the failures of a lot of these elected politicians and a lot of the administrative bureaucracies and the ways that they really are harming families, harming individuals. And I really hope that people around the country are able to see and learn from our example and not follow the same path.
So in my view, gospel proclamation and citizen engagement are together married. The wedding between the two of those concepts enable us to continue to be a shining light, a beacon on a hill, a city that propounds the gospel instead of retracting and retreating from that engagement in our time.
As March continues, we will be looking in depth at the various strategies that the far left is using to try to steal your vote. But we must also remember that the antidote to this disease is to stand together as responsible, committed Christian citizens. Too often, Christian apathy and ignorance have allowed those who are pushing an anti-God, anti-freedom, anti-life agenda to triumph. Dr. Kennedy reminds us of our calling in this portion of his critical message, Christian Citizenship.
Someone who recently traveled abroad, visiting a number of communist countries, came back and was again reminded and astounded at how much freedom we have in this country compared to most of the nations of the world, a freedom which is rapidly becoming a rare commodity in the world in which we live. So, remembering the words of Jesus who said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's," we see that we have a double responsibility, not only to render unto God those responsibilities which he has directed, but also to render to Caesar those things which are a part of our responsible citizenship. But first, let us notice from whence we came. America began with godly men who came to these shores to worship Jesus Christ. "We all came into these parts of America," they said, "for one and the same end and aim, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ." That was why they came. And they established a godly civilization. So much so that when the famous Frenchman came over here in 1830 and wrote his book, Democracy, he said that America was a righteous nation, that there's never a nation where Christianity had such a grasp and grip upon the people, and that America was great because America was good. And if America ever ceased to be good, America would cease to be great. Consider where we have come from that exalted beginning. Now we live in a nation which is filled with dangers. There are many dangerous places that you could be now as an American. There is the danger on our highways with many people who are drunk or under the influence of drugs. There is danger in our slums. There is danger walking down the streets of almost any neighborhood at night today. What happened along the way from Plymouth Rock? Who is responsible? Is it the atheist or the humanist? Upon whom shall we lay the blame? Well, we have to acknowledge that a great deal of the blame must rest upon us, must be laid at the doorstep of the church. We have failed to obey the Great Commission in this country as a whole. We have failed to obey the cultural mandate to be involved in every sphere of activity. We have retreated from politics and government and the media and higher education, and we have left it to unbelievers. We have failed to fulfill our responsibilities as citizens. We have failed to obey the command of Christ to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Now, we didn't create this monster with our own hands, but we allowed it to grow up and to take power, where with the power of government and the colleges and the courts and the legislatures and the media, it has wreaked this disaster, this carnage in America today. And therefore, I think we must realize that much of the blame rests with us. Christians have failed to fulfill their responsibilities as citizens in this country. And we have allowed this great blessing of a godly nation to slip through our hands. When will we wake up? I thank God for those in this church who have awakened a long time ago and who are active, who are obeying not only the Great Commission but the cultural mandate, who are not only rendering unto God but they're rendering unto Caesar what they should. But the result of this fact that the majority have not is we have a judicial system, a Supreme Court, which is either ignorant of or hostile to the basic biblical principles upon which this nation was founded, and legislatures that pass laws that are completely antithetical to the law of God. The purpose of government is to defend its citizens and to restrain evildoers that we may live godly and peaceable lives. That is the purpose of government. But we have had government that all too often has failed to defend its citizens and has encouraged evildoers rather than restraining them. How do we render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's? First of all, we should pray regularly, faithfully, daily for those who are in power, for our president and vice president, for our cabinet, for their cabinet, the Supreme Court, the Congress, the Senate, the House, and those who rule locally. Secondly, we should register to vote. Voting for non-Christian Americans is a privilege and a responsibility. For Christians, it is a duty demanded by God that we should fulfill. Thirdly, we should become informed so we don't simply walk into a voter's booth and close our eyes and punch holes in things, and then get involved. Do more than just vote. Support candidates of your choice. My friends, we can change America. People made it what it is, and we can make it what it ought to be. Do you really believe that? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. And Jesus Christ tells us to be faithful citizens of this country. And if you are here today or listening to my voice and you do not know him and you've never accepted him as Savior and Lord, then you're part of the problem and not part of the solution. I urge you right now to repent of your sins and to ask him to come into your heart and to change your life, to cleanse you and renew you and transform you and give you a godly heart and mind, and a desire for a godly America, that we can once more say, God bless America, land of the free.
Dear friend, as Dr. Kennedy just shared, we can change America by being obedient to Christ and fulfilling our responsibilities as Christian citizens. In the last election, Christians faithfully turned out at the polls and made a tangible difference, which is why those on the left are now working overtime to try to nullify your vote. They are determined to never let what happened in 2016 happen again. And so they are proposing that we abolish the Electoral College, eliminate voter ID requirements, and replace the American electorate. And that's just for starters. You need to know what they're doing so that you can counteract it, making sure that your voice is heard. Veteran Washington journalist Robert Knight has written a new book for us called Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. And we want to send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to help us do the important work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. This book is exclusively available through our ministry. You can't get it at Barnes & Noble's or Amazon. It includes chapters on how the left will try to steal your vote through high-tech manipulation, giving votes to illegal aliens, overturning the Constitution's Electoral College requirements, and more. Can you imagine? Without the Electoral College, our president would be chosen every 4 years by the liberal denizens of New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And that is exactly why now many far-left politicians, embittered by their 2016 loss, are proposing that we abolish it. The founding fathers put the Electoral College in place so that rural areas and small towns couldn't be bullied by politically monolithic cities. But like so much of the rest of the Constitution, the radical left would like to crumple it up in order to get their way. You will want to read this short but important book and share it with your friends as we approach the 2020 elections. To learn more about this and the left's other vote-stealing strategies. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you the book plus the special new DVD program, Stealing Your Vote, Exposing the Left's Plans to Undermine Free Elections, which includes an interview with Robert Knight, as well as other compelling experts like William J. Federer, Gary Bauer, and Trump legal advisor Jenna Ellis Reeves. And if you donate, you will be helping us stand against these blatantly unconstitutional schemes, broadcasting the truth nationwide during this pivotal election year. You can make a difference. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. A wise man once said, "Capitalism is the unequal distribution of wealth. Socialism is the equal distribution of poverty." Communism, he said, is nothing but socialism with a gun at your back. For decades, many argued that the absence of that gun in our day makes socialism a more benign alternative. But Karl Marx never thought so. He viewed socialism as merely a way station on the road to communism. Sadly, many of the younger among us neither recognize nor care about the difference. A recent survey from the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation showed that 70% of those in the millennial generation, roughly ages 20 to 40, say they are willing to vote for a socialist candidate. And 36% of them said they approve of communism. The very ideology that led to nearly 100 million murders in the 20th century. When asked to name the biggest threat to world peace, 27% of these millennials named Donald Trump, while only 22% named North Korea's communist dictator Kim Jong-un, even as he ramps up his nuclear threats. Of course, these views did not arrive out of the clear blue sky. They are the thin gruel served up by the corrupt education establishment, a system hijacked by Marxist ideologues decades ago. Add to that a ridiculously biased news media and an entertainment industry that enforces radical leftist views by punishing dissenters with a virtual blacklist. Socialism and its more authoritarian brother, communism, are directly contrary to a biblical view of the world. God endorses the idea of private property in the Ten Commandments, where stealing what doesn't belong to you is prohibited. This prohibition applies to governments as well. Governments have no right to the labor and goods of citizens simply by virtue of being the government. When God is eclipsed, which was the express goal of Karl Marx, the father of socialism, government tries to make itself God. Sadly, it is now doing so with the enthusiastic endorsement of millions of brainwashed millennials. But it's a false God, and it's destined to failure. One way we obey God and love our neighbor is by voting for freedom and for limited government, and by speaking biblical truth against the false messiah of socialism. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The American Constitution is based upon principles that our founders took from the Bible.
One of the most pernicious attacks on election integrity is the idea of getting rid of the Electoral College.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.